This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Lopez, Figgy Fit. Well, Byron Matthews.
Hey!
I deked everybody on that one. They are in the loop and they start now.
That's right. Happy Football Friday to you in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Gets going. Shout out to the fellas, Sean and Seth, as they go into their football week. And it is indeed going to be a really fun football weekend. A lot of fun matchups that all serve as precursor to Monday Night Football. Texans at AT&T Stadium versus the Dallas Cowboys. And Lopez, first of all, I'm very excited for that. There's very few things that give me a little bit of anxiety in that, but I feel like I find the places for the anxiety. However,
you find it.
We always appreciate a level of insight in this, but I feel like I don't think that this is a get right game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is the get right game.
The get right game.
Let me know how you feel about this game coming up for the Texans. 713-572-4610 is the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Salute to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. But yeah, this one doesn't just feel like any get right game. This feels like it's so perfectly situated for this Texans team to get some things right. I begin. And a lot of this is just because of the ways that the Dallas Cowboys and their issues line up with the things that the Texans have been trying to get back together, right? Shout out to Greenhead on the YouTube saying that the Texans should absolutely beat the brakes off of the Cowboys. And here are some of the reasons why. The Dallas Cowboys defensively are terrible at stopping outside zone. Mm-hmm. Well, I could have just stopped at terrible, but terrible at stopping outside zone. When it comes to runs outside of the tackles, they are literally tied for the worst in EPA per play in that metric.
Yes.
They are just worst. Very, very bad.
DFL.
Worst. And that's including, like, I know Micah Parsons is one of the big names to consider.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons is he came out of Penn State as a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker at that. And it was the move to edge just a lot of pass moves and everything. But he is a smaller body as an edge rusher or as a, you know, edge player.
Yeah.
And that's been one of those things that teams have been able to get at him about is running to his size. So even the Micah Parsons name is not great. Plus, you get on the outsides and those dudes don't like tackling.
Yeah.
Like those cornerbacks
and
everything.
And they have tackling issues.
They sure do. And it's like, okay, an outside zone team that has not been as effective with the outside zone. You had one of the few instances, in fact, the single instance where Joe Mixon wasn't able to put up 100 yards and a tutty in this previous game. This feels like, hey, nice situation to go up against a team that can't do that, that does or has an issue rather stopping the thing that you claim as your bread and butter run philosophy.
And not only that, but Joe Mixon is his strength is cutting back to that side, to finding space on the outside.
Yeah, running off that left side
and getting. I mean, that's we heard from Brian Broaddus yesterday about breaking down his right versus left and how he's so good at that. That's just like one element of why I agree with you, by the way. It should be the get right game. But that's just one reason.
All right.
I mean, they have so many others.
Yeah, here comes another one. Let me throw this at you. How about play action?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that Bobby Slowik, at least we saw an uptick in his play calling with play action in this past game versus the Lions. And you imagine that is more of a shift in philosophy, especially with the offensive line, knowing that there's a level of protection issues, booting CJ out, giving him opportunity. I mean, not necessarily the intent is to, shorten the field, but it does.
Yeah.
Gives him opportunity to throw the football. Well, if you're utilizing play action in a similar way that you did against the Lions, That'll be solid because Dallas struggles defensively against play action specifically. We talked to Broadus. The discipline isn't necessarily there in a big way.
Yeah.
And that's evidence in the EPA per play where they are bottom 10 against play action. Okay, so, hey, another thing that you're looking at as a help, an opportunity to get a little bit better when it comes to passing the football, utilizing play action. They haven't been good at dealing with that.
Yeah.
Another instance where it's not just an opportunity to get right. It feels like the opportunity to get right.
Absolutely. And with the play action and another receiver in the arsenal. And you know, those first two things tie in together so well. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, play action works whether you're having success running the ball or not. We heard that recently in the Texans
game. Yep, that's the stat nerd's perspective.
Yeah, but if you do run the ball well, it helps it even more. I refuse to think that it doesn't. So if you have Joe Mixon able to pop off some runs and you get into just the down and distance alone, you know, just a second and five, you know, much less a second and eight, the play action becomes even that much better.
Here's another reason why this is the get-right game for the Texans, Monday Night Football versus the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys defense struggles versus intermediate passes. Mm-hmm. Those passes between 10 and 19 yards in that space literally last in the league in defensive EPA per play allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned Nico Collins coming back. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that he does so very well is like, you know, those 15-yard crosser or, you know, in-breaking routes. And one of the things that, you know, you're looking forward to him being there for, he's going to have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the role that Stephon Diggs occupied early in the season where he kind of just found spaces in that defense and, you know, was able to find the space as a veteran receiver. It feels like maybe Tank Dell exists in that space. And if it's not Tank, it's Mechie, but I imagine it's Tank, right? Get in those intermediate spaces and be able to throw the football there. They're really bad at stopping that. And they also play a lot of single high, which I imagine will give you some more opportunities to throw over the middle of the field. This feels like a place where you can get the pass game going as well, getting into those soft spaces in the middle of the field.
Well, they're gonna play. They do play a lot of single high safety, but the book on the Texans is double high. You know, it's just to play quarters and to keep them in front of you. Well, that helps that too.
Yeah.
You know, that helps that as well. So they might try to mix it up, but that helps that intermediate that much more either.
Yeah, and on top of all of this, another reason statistically why this is the get-right game for your Texans. Dallas struggles on first down passes. And this I feel like goes to a different level because I think all the things that I've listed before feel like things that you're already kind of doing.
Yeah.
This is something that you would need to get better about doing. And I wonder if this team is ready to do that. But the Cowboys defense is 31st, literally second to last in EPA per play on passes on first down.
Well, and
because they can't pin their ears back. Like, they've had so many injuries, but the one place on that Dallas Cowboys defense where they can make a little bit of hay is rushing the passer, specifically because of Micah Parsons. Some of the other guys, like Osa Digizuwal, one of their defensive tackles, knifes up the field pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're missing a lot of the edge rushers that they anticipated, a lot of the strength that they anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Their former first-round pick, Mozzie Smith, a defensive tackle, hasn't been good. So it's just Micah Parsons getting up and rushing the passer, but on downs where it's not a guaranteed throwing down, like where a third and long or what have you, first down, that's not a guaranteed throwing down. You could do anything. And if Bobby Slowick gets into the place where he's willing to get over running the football so much on first down, this is an opportunity for you to eat.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Bobby Slowick's going to have to get over that.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to dig into this a little bit more later, but, you know, throwing the ball first to actually help Joe Mixon, too.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a short pass, it's a 6-yard pass, then you're, you know, second and two, and all of a sudden, you know, you have maybe Joe Mixon and he could pop one off. But the first down defense against the pass, I was actually looking at that myself separately from the EPA. That's where the Texans have got to get going.
Yeah.
They've got to.
Absolutely. And so I think that you see a picture.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of a Dallas Cowboys defense that lines up their issues, the places where they struggle, line up so well with either the things that you want to do or the things that it feels like you should be doing offensively.
Yeah.
This feels like the perfect opportunity to get the offense humming to lead into the stretch of the next three games where you've got this weak Cowboys team, you've got a Titans team, you've got a Jaguars team in division, where I think that you could start building yourself some level of confidence, man.
That's it, because, you know, D'Amico Ryans and pretty much every NFL coach will tell you, oh, it's week to week. You know, if you have a bad game, you, quote, flush it. If you have a good game, it doesn't matter because you got to play the next week. But this game against the Cowboys, if you can, and I'm not talking about, like, necessarily style points, because, you know, forget, you know, impressing anybody outside, you, me, or fans or anything else. They got to start talking to themselves. They have to start showing themselves that they're capable of this. You know, if you just eliminate everything else, there's doubt in that locker room. If you've listened to any of the comments this week from head coach to coordinators to everything else, well, the coordinator's talking today, but you know, you've heard things that would indicate they've got questions themselves, and they have to prove things to themselves. So this Cowboys game, here's the other thing that's interesting about this Cowboys game, and I was thinking about this on the way in. Before the season began, we all thought, boy, this is going to be a prove-it game, a get-right game, more so a prove-it game, because we expected the Cowboys to be really good, Texans to be really good, Monday Night Football,
in front of the world is watching, yeah,
high level. They each have, you know, 7-8 wins or whatever it is. What a brawl it's going to be. Well, it's clearly not that, but in a weird way, it's still that. It's still that for the Texans, because they have to prove that team that you've been looking at is not us. You know, that's why they have to prove it to themselves.
Yeah, and this is not just a place where, I think I've already said, I need you to beat the brakes off of this.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to find a little Dan Campbell in you.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead and stomp on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go ahead and dance on their graves. Like, I think, do all of the things. Give yourself the opportunity to get the most reps, figuring yourself out and, you know, getting the most out of what you've been able to do. You saw a little bit of that in the Lions game. Put it all, like, CA game, where you go, you know, whistle to whistle all the way through the game, putting this together. Because I wonder if this game will operate, like, in the get right sense, like what they say in basketball, which you just got to see one go through the hoop.
Yeah, just got, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this feels like an opportunity to see one to go through the hoop, right? And really running up the score, literally and kind of theoretically, in the way that you get things done. So I feel like this is just a, you know, finish the play, drive them all the way through the ground. And, you know, do that, because there's a lot of things metrically that give you an opportunity to do that. But one of the things I find interesting, though, is from the 713 on the 5 Air Energy fan line. They said they feel like the Texans-Cowboys game is a trap game. Is this another 713 that says, feel like the Texans are going to find a way to screw this up? Like, that's one of the things also that I think the get-right game is going to be good for. Is everybody on looking? Because it feels like there's a level of doubt. And you mentioned in the locker room, there's a level of doubt on the outside that this gets done. And that they're able to execute to the point that that it feels like they have the talent to be able to do.
Well, yes, but I still think it matters most in the locker room, because here's where it gets really dicey and really important. We all acknowledge this has all the markings of the Texans get right, they flex a little bit, they feel better about themselves, and all of a sudden things maybe start to roll. If it doesn't, the opposite of a get right game is, boy, didn't know it could get this bad. You know, boy, I didn't know it could get this bad. Because if they don't get right in this one, you know, then all these doubts, all this, quote, outside noise that we're going to hear about from D'Amico Ryans later is not just outside noise. You know, it's going to be inside.
It's smoke where there's
fire.
No,
it's going to be inside. It's going to be them. Like, we saw Dak Prescott famously this year turn to a teammate and say, man, we suck. You know, and that's going to be that happens in locker rooms. So not only is it all the markings of a get right game, an important one to get right, you better.
Yeah, and it makes it a must that has to be the outcome, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I understand. I have very much come from the place where it seems like an inevitability that this Texas team comes out and shows out, at least to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what is the degree of showing out that's not sufficient, right? Because we look at all of these things that point to the fact that the Cowboys should not be able to be on the same field as you.
Yeah.
What is the game flow that ultimately comes up and you're like, yeah, no, not good enough?
Mm-hmm.
And two, what are the percent chances that you get to a place where you're not happy with the result of this King game?
I mean, based on what we've seen, what are the percent chances? That's a good question. I would say that all of a sudden, you know, we're in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, going, oh, Lord. You know, I would say 30%, 40%.
Ooh, that feels high.
It does, doesn't it?
That feels high. Like, I probably was going to go to 20%, which even then I felt like, ooh, that feels a little skeptical, but it's because... And it's because we haven't seen it put all the way together. I think maybe you talk about first half in this Lions game, and that's in part because you got a lot of turnovers. What other games can you maybe point
to? Well, we've mentioned
Jacksonville
They've only beaten one team by double digits all year.
Yeah,
they've
that's
only
right.
beaten one team. That was the Patriots here. So maybe 40's high, maybe 30. And that gets – and that says a lot by itself, the fact that we're saying that. And the other part of it is – If you get out to an early lead and control like you did against Detroit, for God's sakes, play the second half. Like that we're going to be, even if they have a half like they did against the Lions, we'll be more confident because it's the Cowboys and they stink. But if you let it hang around or you don't show that impressive, you know, effort all the way through, then we won't be in a good place.
I refuse to believe that you mean this on the YouTube, LXNay. 80%?
80%.
I refuse to believe that you believe that, especially with Nico Collins returning, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things about this, and we mentioned this a little bit but didn't flesh it out, is I think that also slots guys back in the responsibilities that fit their and suit their abilities, right? Mm-hmm. Tank Dell can go back to doing Tank Dell things instead of trying to, be a facsimile of what you were getting from Nico Collins or Steph Diggs or whatever. Mm-hmm. John Metchie, who has done a great job getting open, Nick Caserio mentioned that on Texan All Access, done a great job getting open. How much more open do you end up when you have a player like Nico Collins that's top 10, just to avoid all argument, in the league, and that I think is he has all of the makings of a player that defenses have to game plan for, and when their eyes and attention are over there, how much more open can you get over here? Like, I think
underneath
all of those things exist. Yeah. I just have a hard time believing that you think that it's an 80% chance that it goes bad.
I think 30 says a lot.
Yeah,
because I legitimately feel that, like, there's probably a 3 in 10 chance that this doesn't happen. Even though, as you just laid out, that this should be, like, I will say this term, a paint by numbers win. Boom, you go here, you go here, you go here, ball game.
And I literally threw up some of the numbers that I feel like you can paint by.
Yeah,
but yes, I mean, we still have another day to break this down. We will be on obviously on a Monday leading into Monday Night Football. But this still just feels like this feels like not just any get right game as we talk about it. This feels like the perfect one set up for this Texans team to get themselves back in a place where there's confidence in yourself, where you can go into games believing not just that you can do it, but that you will do it.
Yeah.
This feels like one that can get you in that space. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Football Friday. Coming up next, are we going to have to start having uncomfortable conversations about CJ Stroud? This national media member seems to believe that. We'll discuss it next.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.